Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea 4, verse 6. You know, the Bible says faith is the victory. Have you seen that in the Word before? It says faith is the victory. Let me show you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So that's me. Because I'm born of God, so I have overcome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's how you respond to God's word. God is talking to you and you have to respond. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I am born of God and I have overcome. Praise the Lord. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the challenges. I have overcome the temptations. Praise the Lord. It says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is a victory. What is faith? In the most simplest terms, faith is, this is what I believe from God's word, and this is what I've said. Do you understand? Faith starts with talking. Saying what you have believed. Then he says, faith is the victory. That means that you don't lose faith, else you've lost the victory. Are you seeing it? You might have some challenges that you're facing. And you've spoke God's word. You've spoken God's word. That is the faith. Don't change it. He says, that is the victory. The day you change it, you've lost the victory. That means the things you say are so important. So there are things that try to tell you to change your confession. Make you change your confession. They are trying to make you lose the victory. He says, faith is the victory. You have won already. Once you said it, you won. Don't change it. Don't drop it. If you do, you've lost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means you must be strong about what you've said. Don't change it. What you think about your life. What you think about your future. Hold on to it. If you lose it, he says you've lost the victory. What you said was a victory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't change it. All right, go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 now. It's a very popular verse of scripture. Are you in this place? Are you sure? All right. Say, I'm alive.
Alive.
Okay, yes, you are. Verse 6, very popular. Let's read it together once you go. Praise the Lord. Some people were not reading. I want us to read the first line together. One, two, go. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Stop. Read it again. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Stop. Read it for the last time. My people are destroyed for lack of... They are his people. These are not unbelievers. These are his people. What does that mean? If they are his people, he should be able to save them from destruction. He should be able to help them. He is God. God should be able to do anything. If I was being destroyed and I am God's person, he should help me. Do you understand? He should help me. I remember God was so angry with the children of Israel, and he told Moses, leave me alone, I want to destroy these people. And then Moses said, what would the unbelievers say? That you brought us out to destroy us? No, we are your people. If every person is being destroyed, not God's people, are you in this place?
Yes,
we are a testament of God's goodness. If you say you're a billionaire, but your child cannot afford school fees, we should question your billions. Are you in this place?
Yes,
we should question, are you really a billionaire? Because if that is really your child, then we question your billions or question if that is really your child. Because if that is really your child, you should be able to afford the school fees if you're a billionaire. If you're God's person, And he can do anything. He should be able to save you from destruction. But now he's saying, even though he can do anything, lack of knowledge would hinder him. Meaning that there are things you must know. Are you seeing it? God, with all his ability and might, can help you beyond your knowledge. Think about that. Can help you beyond your knowledge. There are things you must know. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Meaning, if someone was on the path of destruction, immediately he gains knowledge, he will escape that path. Are you seeing it? It's that simple. This has nothing to do with the ability of God. Immediately he gets knowledge, he would escape that path. So you can be God's person, part of God's people, and still be destroyed. So you hear things like, and he was a Christian, but the business went away. He was a Christian, but MMM finished his money. He was a Christian, but he failed the course. Yeah, he says, my people, he still claimed them. He didn't say people who were my own before. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He didn't say my former people are destroyed. No, he says my people. He still accepted them. But he says they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. So that means if your health is being affected, being destroyed, your family is being destroyed, academically you are finished. When you gain knowledge, things can change. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
Things can change. God is saying, it is what you know that is important. It is what you know that would help you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And he emphasizes the same thoughts in 2 Timothy. Let's go there. You like this one. I'll be very brief today. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, since we are using the screen, let me ask a simple question. Except for those who have opened their Bibles in their phones. How many chapters are in 2 Timothy? No, not chorus. Because once you say three, right? How many chapters in 2 Timothy? Who knows? Okay, say it if you know it. Someone say seven. Eh? Four chapters. Did you know that? Hey, dear Lord. How many years have you been a Christian and you didn't know? Just four chapters in 2 Timothy. All right. How many chapters are in 2 Thessalonians? Do you even know there's a 2 Thessalonians? Praise the Lord. Don't cross it. How many chapters are in 1 Timothy? Seven. Someone likes calling seven. Seven is the number of perfection. Praise the Lord. How many?
Six.
Six. So now you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
If you're here, respond. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verse. Now I'm going somewhere, but let's start from verse 22. Verse 22. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So God wants you to know something. He wants you to gain knowledge. As you walk on this earth, he wants you to know what can help you, what can deliver you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's start from verse 22. I'm going somewhere, but this is good. Let's read it together. I want to go. He says, flee also youthful lusts. So that's an instruction. Look at it. God says, run away. You know, he tells us, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You're supposed to stand strong in faith. But when it comes to lusts, he says what? Run. Run away from youthful lusts. Things that inspire lusts, run away from them. Don't tolerate them. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Once they show, disappear. Don't wait for them to go. You go. It could be comedy skits. Funny, but inspires lusts. God says, run away. Listen. He says, the thoughts he has towards us are thoughts of peace. Meaning anything against God's thoughts will destroy you, will cause you trouble. Untold trouble. So if he tells you to flee youthful lusts, that means remaining in the presence of lust will eventually destroy your life. So whatever inspires lust, it could be a song, movie, an individual, a comedy skit that seems innocent, but you know so many lustful things there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, flee. Flee youthful lusts. Run away from it. Drop it. Do you understand?
Yes,
don't publicize it. Then he says, but follow righteousness. So while you're running away from lust, you're running towards righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Meaning choose your associations, offline and online. Follow those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's the only criteria. He says those that are intelligent. And say, I like to follow intelligent people on social media. No, he knew about social media. He says, follow those. Are you in this place? That call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee youthful lusts. So you could be looking at someone in real life on your phone. And immediately, you see signs of lusts. Things that provoke you to lust. You know those things. Are you in this place? Run away. He says, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of pure. So when you find people like that, stay there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In your life, don't explain away the word of God. Don't say, I know this thing has lust, but it's very funny. No. Remain in God's word. Are you in this place? Verse 23. He says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. So it's not every conversation you should be a part of. It's not every question you must answer. Are you in this place? He says, foolish questions avoid. Knowing that they do gender strife. You know, there are conversations you have with people that you know the end result will be quarrel. You know. He says, avoid them. Don't say, I'm ready for you today. No, avoid them. There are questions they ask, you avoid. It's foolish. Are you in this place?
Yes,
don't say, if God created all things, who created God? Is a creation that would think something must be created. Are you in this place?
Yes,
the real creator should not be created. For example, it's like your phone asking who manufactured you. Were you manufactured in a factory? No. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Even though you say, you know, I'll win this conversation, avoid it. Do God's word. Help yourself. It says, knowing that they do gender strifes. And it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. Don't argue. I mean, don't argue with people in real life because they might punch you. And don't argue with strangers on the internet. He says, if you're the servant of the Lord, now if someone is your master, you can do what you like. But if you have a true master and his name is Jesus, he says, don't strive. This is your master telling you, are you in this place? I mean, if you're working for me and you came to maybe the office and then I say, see that gate man, don't greet him. If you're working for me, you should not greet him. As long as I'm still your boss. Maybe the day you quit, you can agree, good morning, I'm no longer your boss. But as long as I'm your master, your boss, you must do what I say. So it says, if you are the servant of the Lord, don't strive. Don't say, it's paining me, I must say something. No, do God's word. Praise the Lord. So don't get into conversations that would gender strife. Say, someone must answer him now. If someone does not answer him now, he will not know the truth. He says, don't get involved. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Spend your time doing something more relevant. Studying the word, eating food, sleeping, resting, not quarreling. After you're done, you're angry. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
All right. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be what? Gentle. Are you in this place? Are you in this place? Or some of you, you've quarreled this week. So you're hiding your face. It's okay if you quarrel this week. Just don't do it again. All right? He says, but be what? Gentle unto all men. It's like only two people are answering me in this church. He says, the Son of God must be what? Gentle. You don't see me, I'm rough. Fool. I will show you shaggy. The Nigerian terms are so interesting. Shaggy. He says, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and what? Patient. So he does say you should teach. You can explain, but choose the things you explain. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. Not things that cause strife or arguments. Avoid those ones. I mean, there are some people that I've seen who insulted people online because they did not agree with you. You typed M-U-M-U. You sent it. Servant of the Lord. Is that your ministry? Calling people M-U-M-U. Because you think you're so wise. You know, he says be gentle. Alright?
Yes, Pastor.
Unto all men. Even the conductor. Or the agbero. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have you seen that lady that looks gentle? Until she wants to fight conductor, she throw away the wig. Not you. Praise the Lord. It says, apt to teach. Patient. Verse 25. So I said, I'm going somewhere, and this is where I'm heading. Remember, we started talking about how that God said his people are destroyed. Why? Lack of knowledge. That's the cause of their destruction. And I'm saying that he emphasized it in the New Testament section. Verse 25. He's saying something. Just follow me. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Remember, I was talking about the servant of the Lord must not strive, but teach. Do you understand? Now he's saying, this is how you teach. In meekness, instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. So there are people that oppose themselves, even in the house of God. Meaning, they are making progress by themselves. They'll move backwards. He says, oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So why do they oppose themselves? Because they do not acknowledge the truth. They don't know. And the word acknowledge here, he says they don't know the truth. Are you in this place?
Yes,
but the word know, they acknowledge, actually means they have not come to oneness with the truth. Meaning that they might know it, but it's not in their lives. So the guy can know that, listen, he should not be sick. But it is not in him. Immediately he feels that pain in his head, he's rushing to the pharmacy. There's nothing wrong with the pharmacy. But the point is, he knows it. He knows what God's word has said, but he has not come into oneness with it. He says, that person would oppose himself. So there are people like that. He says, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, meaning that the day they know the truth, they accept it, they become one with it, they'll stop opposing themselves. Then they'll be making progress. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Verse 26. He says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. I want you to put 25 and 26 on the screen. Let's look at it together. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Because they do not acknowledge the truth, they are in Satan's trap. That's what he's saying here. And he says he can take them captive at his will. You know, when people are kidnapped, one of the horrors of the families involved, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
When they kidnap someone, it's not necessarily that they'll kill that person, because most times they ask for ransom. That's really not the horror per se, even though that is a probability. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
At times, the horror is what they would do to that person because they have trapped that person. They could do anything. I mean, when they eventually release the person will still be alive. But they can do anything because the person is in their trap. Today they can say the person should do some errands for them. They can hurt the person terribly. Are you in this place? They can mock them. They can slap them. Because they are in their trap, they can do anything even though they are still alive. Sometimes when you have people who, maybe a family member has been kidnapped, they are so concerned. Not because the person might die. Because they say, listen, anytime that person is in that trap, they can do anything. Now he's telling you that there are people in Satan's trap. And he can do anything to them. The day he likes, one morning, everything is fine the previous day. They can wake up and they have a heart attack. They can wake up and there's a problem with their body. They can wake up and there's bad news. And they'll be affected. Why? They're in Satan's trap. They can wake up one morning and everything has changed. Why? They're in Satan's trap. Satan can do anything with them. And why is that possible? Because they have not acknowledged the truth. They have not realized, number one, that there's a spirit that is their adversary. Out to get them. Out to destroy them. Number two, they have the authority against that spirit. So if he shows up, you tell him what? Out. The day they acknowledge it, all the problem will cease. Now, there are some of you here that we've probably had some problem early in the morning. You woke up and maybe your eyes were red. But because you knew God's word, or you know God's word, you used it and the thing cleared. Someone else will have that same problem and 3 years later will be blind. What's the difference? You know God's word. You believe God's word. You're one with God's word. You did God's word. The devil could not take hold of you. But there are people like that. They're in Satan's trap. I mean, today they're fine. Next day they're in the hospital for 3 weeks. They come back. Now they're okay. Give them 2 weeks. They're back there. Satan just plays with them. Hamatan season, they're affected. Raining season, they're affected. Even dry season, they're affected. What's the problem with dry season? Headache. Every season, Satan is playing with their lives. And God is saying, this doesn't have to be your story. It is not normal. But it will happen to those who have not acknowledged the truth. They hear it in church, but they've not become one with it. So he says, listen, in meekness, instructing. The word instructing there is not teach. You know what it is? It means warning. That's the word there. Meaning that they've heard this word before. It says warning those that oppose themselves. Part of the warning is what he just told us, flee youthful lusts. How many of you have not heard that before? Of course you've heard it before. Even though you're not a Christian, you know that there are some things that you should not see is bad. So you've heard it before. But maybe you're not one with that knowledge and to influence you negatively. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, then what will happen? When they acknowledge the truth, what will happen? They'll do what? Oh, you need to see this. When they acknowledge the truth, what will happen? Is it God that will recover them? Hey! They will be the ones who say, today enough is enough, I'm out. He says, they may recover themselves out of the trap of the devil. The guy who every 2 months is getting sick, the day he realizes that Jesus is his healer and has healed him, he'll say, enough, I'm tired of this sickness, and he will go. That's what he's saying here. Once they realize the truth, they say, it's enough. No more begging at the middle of the month. It's enough. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Since once they know the truth, it's enough. They will recover themselves. They will be the ones to say, I'm tired of this life of tablets every day. And listen, this is the most remarkable part. Look at this, verse 26. It says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. When they recover themselves out of the trap of Satan, do you notice Satan can't drag them back? It shows you how powerless Satan is. Too many people give him credit. You can have some people that say, you know what, today I'm done lusting. I'm done. I'm no longer doing these bad habits. I'm done with it. But in their mind, they're thinking, hey, what if I fall again? You're giving Satan too much credit. He says, the day they recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, Satan can't drag them back. He can't say, where are you going? Where are you going? No. Once they realize the truth, they realize the gates were open all along. They could have walked out of that trap. And they would walk out of that trap. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See how powerless Satan is. In the presence of God's word, Satan has no power. None whatsoever. When you're done with the sickness, he can't bring it back. He can't say, no, you must remain here. Doesn't have the authority. You know, there are things that fascinate me in the word of God. And let me share two of them with you. The first one, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 5, how that, are you in this place? How that Jesus met a madman at Gadara. You remember that madman? And then, you know, you look at Matthew chapter 8, Jesus had told them, you know, go. Tell the demons to leave. And they literally asked, what is your name? And they said, Legion. That's a number. Do you understand? Now, Legion is, you remember when Jesus cast those demons out, they entered over 2,000 pigs. Meaning that there were over 2,000 demons in that one man. You think about it. So he had supernatural strength. The Bible says anytime they bound him with chains, he broke it off. Superman in the cartoons had nothing on that guy. Broke it off. 2,000. Now, Legion is anywhere between 10,000 to 40,000. So he had at least 10,000 demons in that one man. All right. That is nice information. But did you notice? To cast them out, Jesus just said one word, go. As many as they were. Are you in this place? As many as they were. They didn't say, oh yeah, three of you go, the rest of us will remain. No, one word and over 10,000 out. No wonder the Bible says that when you acknowledge the truth, Satan can't do nothing. He can't do anything against it. The second thing that fascinates me, the Bible says, you know, on the last days, when Jesus would appear, the Antichrist would be in full form. Have you heard of that before? Yeah, the Antichrist, the so-called terrible Antichrist. But do you know how Jesus would destroy this Antichrist? He's not fight though, he's not sword. Antichrist, Christ, attack. No. The Bible says, with the brightness of his coming and the breath of his mouth. That means, and the Antichrist that has terrorized the whole world will be gone. Look at the ability of the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. So he's telling you that when you recognize that what the Word of God has told you about your health, about your future, about your life is the truth, and you hold on to it, Satan can't play games with you. You can't just fall sick. No. Look at it. He says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When they decide it's time to go, they'll go. Satan can hold them back. All right, now you have that guy who probably joined some association by mistake. And he's saying, I want to leave. You've seen films like that. He said, I want to leave this cult. And they say, if you go, we'll kill you. No, the Bible says, when you're ready to go, Satan can do anything. He says, but I know someone that they killed, but not you. Are you in this place? The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he in the world. So Satan does not have the ability to stop the man who knows God's word and does it. He is different from others. But the one who knows it but doesn't do it, when problem strikes, he'll be affected like others. Satan can play games with his life. Think about it. All he has to do is to send an information that anybody that wears red will die on Sunday. And if you don't know God's word, praise the Lord, you will not join choir today. Because you're worried. You wouldn't. You'll be led in fear. But when you know God's word, and you know the devil has been thoroughly defeated, are you in this place? You do whatever you want, and nothing would happen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. It says in meekness. So you see, people are destroyed. People are affected by Satan because of what they don't know. The day they realize that this sickness that comes, I'm talking about sickness because it's important. Praise the Lord. Because I found out recently how much one hospital visit can cost. And I was just thanking God all my life that see the money I've been saving. By the time I get to heaven, I'll need receipts, back payment. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I mean, at a go, at a visit, at time just for tests, that means to check if something is actually wrong with you. Not to solve the problem. How are you in this place? Just to check if something is actually wrong with you. You're dropping like 10K. 50. Thank you. See why healing and health is so important. I think when I say thank you, Jesus. I've never been admitted in a hospital before. Why? Number one, my mom really never took us there. So I never, except I wanted to go for all these medical checkups. Do you understand? You're about to enter school, so you have to do some tests. And it's always one visit, and I'm done. Never. My point is, you can live that life. And then when I became a Christian, it was finished for the devil. Finished. When I was not a Christian, it was hard for him to get me there because of the kind of mother that I have. Now that I'm a Christian, no way. So, listen, there are people that if they realize that when you're born again, oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to, listen, you don't have to live your life like others. Some things are no longer normal for you. They're no longer normal. So rainy season doesn't mean you should have catarrh or catch the flu. It's no longer normal for you. Now you might know this and not really believe it, and it will happen to you. But it says, listen, the day you come to the acknowledging of the truth, oneness with that truth, you just say, today is enough. No more illness. No more illness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No more. No more illness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, I'm remembering when I was younger, I told you, we never got to the hospital, but we had a pharmacist that usually come and took us injection. In my mind, as a young kid, very wicked man. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right? But I remember every time it was August, I used to fall ill. So bad. So bad. If at that young age, I knew that people who were paralyzed were really paralyzed. Because if I used to think, how can you just sit down there and say you cannot get up? Get up! Until one day I felt so ill, I was shaking, I couldn't stop. That's when I knew it's true. Yeah, things your body can do, you can control. Every August. And I knew that because that was, you know, birthday period. So every time my mom would get cake, I won't be able to eat. See how evil Satan is. And I'll watch people eat it. And I'll just be looking at them. But when I got born again, I suddenly realized it doesn't happen anymore. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
You see, because the word of God increases in you and there's nothing Satan can do. So he says, listen, if God peradventure would grant you repentance, that means you repent. Meaning that you knew the truth, but you were not doing the truth. Now he says, repent. He says, when you acknowledge the truth, he says, you know what? It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And you will recover yourself. It's not God. I say, God, deliver me. Deliver me from this problem. No, he says, you'll be the one to recover yourself. Use God's word and say, is this what the Bible has said? And I've been doing this, suffering this all along. It's enough. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Say, devil, take your wahala and go. You know, people always dreaming. Say, I always have nightmares. Always have nightmares. And you get up, you're sweating. Listen, if that happens to you, I told you guys before, right? If you dream something that's made you concerned, you just say, oh, this is a dream. Okay, in the name of Jesus, canceled. So God was showing you something that might have happened, but then you wake up and you do what? You cancel it. And then there's some dreams that are not purposeful. They are useless dreams. We're always dreaming it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I ever dreams like that. Something that you just know. What is the meaning of this now? Maybe I've been watching too much action film. Only you, you're flying. You're jumping. You're with God. Useless dreams. You can wake up and say, you know what, Satan, that's for you today. It's enough. Just that easy. So knowledge. Knowledge is the issue. Knowledge. When you acknowledge, oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know you're favored. You know you're favored. If you acknowledge that and they tell you a lecturer, nobody passes his course except the highest can get a C. Are you in this place? The highest, the best student God see. That will not cause you to fear. Because you have acknowledged God's truth. Are you in this place? You are favored. I mean, that's why we learned about Esther. She was favored. That's what we learned about Joseph. He was favored. Even though he was a houseboy, he became the chief houseboy. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God was with him. And now he has told you he will never leave you nor forsake you. Meaning the favor is stamped. When you acknowledge that truth, you won't be scared like others. You read, you write your exam, you would pass with flying colors. Are you seeing that? Yeah. When you acknowledge the truth, you know it and you make it yours. You do the truth. It says Satan can't hold you back. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. 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 Go to Hosea 4 again. And we'll end. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hosea 4. Verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. He says, I will also reject thee. Now, of course, here I was talking to the Israelites. But he's saying, the lesson you learn here is don't reject knowledge. It might seem too big when God says it. But accept it and do it and it would work. Else you suffer for nothing. Think about it. You had a man in John chapter 5 that Jesus met and said, hey, do you want to be made whole? And the man said, oh, you know, there's nobody to put me into the water when it turns and all of that. And then Jesus said, all right, rise, take up your bed and go. That seemed too simple. Are you in this place? Too simple. I mean, the guy could have said, you think I've been joking since? He'd been there for, he had had that infirm, Bible says, for 38 years. 38! If it was 2 seconds ago, you can tell him that it's okay, I'll try. But 38, meaning that he's accustomed to lying down. Meaning that it's been a long time he helped himself up. But then Jesus comes and said, rise, get up and go. He don't say it's too simple, now it's too simple. No, he acknowledged what Jesus said. He got up and he carried his bed and he started going. And Satan could not say, come on, lie down back. No, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. They are life. Meaning that they would work. Says the day you acknowledge the truth. You accept this thing you've been hearing about head pain, head pain, head pain, not being your portion. Oh, praise the Lord. I need to show you something. Go to John 17. John 17. Now, hold on to John 17. We go there. Go to Philemon 1 verse 6. Let me just show you something. A thought. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It says what you should acknowledge are the good things in you in Christ Jesus. Those are the things you say you have. So you don't have ulcer. Because God did not give it to you. Are you in this place? So you don't have depression. So you don't have cancer. So you're not slow to understand. Because it's not in Christ. He says the only thing you acknowledge, you realize, you say is my own are the ones that are in you in Christ Jesus. What he has put inside. You know, someone says, I love failure. I don't love failure. You know, there are some motivation that are so against the word of God. You just wonder. It sounds nice. Someone says, I love to fail. Because when I fail, I learn. You have really not failed. Anybody who has failed will tell you there's nothing to love about it. No, I don't love to fail. I don't fail. Are you in this place? Because these folks who say, fail upwards, fail forward, fail to learn, they forget time is going. You keep failing to your 70. No. Are you in this place? There is no failure in me. What's in me? The Spirit of God says, greater is he that is in you
than he in the world. He says, acknowledge. Those are the things you acknowledge. Now, of course, you've gotten an F in a course before, you hear this and you feel bad. No, don't. Listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When you come to God's word, in the presence of God, all things are past. Yes. There's a future to be forged. Are you in this place? So it says, acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Those are the things you boast about. If you catch yourself saying, you know, I have 5. I'm fine. Do you understand?
Yes.
You only acknowledge the good things in you. All right, I said go to John 17, right? Go to John 17. Can I have this? You like this. John 17. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the
Lord. All right. You know, I'm not used to this. I'm used to my pad. All right, verse 7. Sorry about that. John 17, verse 7. Now, Jesus is praying to the Father. And look at what he says about his disciples. He says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. He said, listen, those that are working with me, there's one thing they know. They know everything I have is from you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Everything they see in my life is from you. All right. Now, you're one with Jesus. You're born again. You have eternal life. You have a Father also, which is his Father. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Then people should know that whatever you have is from him. So you don't boldly say, I have also. It's not from him. Are you in this place? You only talk about the things that he has given you. You only emphasize the things that he has given you. You don't say, you know, I'm slow to comprehend. You know, I'm an average student. No, he says you're the first and the best. Have you seen that in the word of God before? He says that's why he gave birth to you with his word. So it'd be a first fruit, a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Meaning that in all of God's creation, you're the first and you're the best. When you acknowledge this truth, that will be your reality. That will be your reality. So the problem is knowledge. Knowledge. What you know and how you use what you know. That could be the issue. And that is the issue. So some of you know God's word so much, but you've not held on to it. You've not become one with it. So you're still struggling. And Satan is still playing games with your life. So you know God's word so much, but at times you catch yourself and say, this economy is hard. No. No. The Lord is your shepherd. Be one with that truth. And Satan can't trap you in poverty. Be one with that truth. Be one with that truth. Know it and be one with it. How many things you know in God's word? They should work in your life. But it says you have to be one with it. Acknowledge it. When you say it, remain there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Remain there. Hold on to that word. And there's nothing Satan can do. Don't oppose yourself. Don't be in church and say, you know what? I'm the healed of God. I walk in health. And then go back and say, but this is my back pain. This is your back pain. Jesus said, all things whatsoever thou hast given me out of thee. Did God give you back pain?
No.
So you don't say it. What has he given you? Healing. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
good health. That's what he has given you. And you acknowledge it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Speak in other tongues a bit. God's word is simple but effective. God's word can break cycles. Cycles of family problems. Cycles
genealogical problems. When you know God's word, as simple as it is, believe it. Believe it. Hold on to God's word. Be one with God's word. Leko brako sharamande ligadesha. Leko bakasiga dosharamande ligridosh. You know, you're entering a new week and you're deciding this week. Leka brako sharamande ligadoshka. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I'll walk in provision. Might be the end of the month, beginning of the month. Maybe even as you're here, you don't even know where the money is coming from. But you know you have a Lord, a master. You'll be one with that truth. You're not going to go back and complain. You're not going to go back and look for people to feel sorry for you. But you'll be one with that truth. Leko brakasu kabradosh. Leka brakezaramande ligedosha. Reko bakasi gredosha ramande ligedosh. Bavoko su kabradosha ramande ligedeshka. This week, no matter the stress, no matter the tension, you walk in health. You're going to be one with that truth. Leko brakasi gredosha ramande ligedeshka. You're going to refuse Libra Kaseka Dosha Brakiska Tonga Leko Bradosha Ramande Ligatuska Vrekena Klatusu Pladishka Ramande Ligadoshka. You're going to refuse every thoughts Leko Brakashka Ramande Ligadoshka of weakness, tiredness, stress. Liga Brakosha Rabaka Ligatoshka Ramande Leko Brakosha Ramande Ligatoshka Ramande. And if you're here, you're running back to take that tablet when you get back home. Enough is enough. Likadako sabradosha rabakte. Leko brakasige dosha ramande. Liko bredosh. Lako sagrain. Likadu sabrake gradosh. Leka tongrad eskaradosha vakad igradosa. Leko brakasige dosha ramande ligadoshka. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says the Spirit of God lives inside of you. It says God indwells you by His Spirit. And this is a truth you must become one with. You know what that means? Number one, there's nothing to fear because God is in you. Did you read our Bible reading plan, Daniel, and how that he saw an angel? How many of you read it? And the Bible says when he saw the angel, he fell down and he slept off. And then others didn't see the angel. Think about it. Just the presence of that one angel. Okay. The people with him didn't see the angel, but they got afraid because the presence was so mighty. They quaked and they ran away. That's what he said. They went to go and hide. They didn't even see anything. And they went to hide. The one inside of you is greater than that angel. Yes. Are you in this place? Yes, they don't have to see him. Only his presence through you means nothing can happen to you. Are you in this place? Yes. There's nothing to fear. Be one with that truth. There's nothing to fear. Don't let Satan hold you hostage. There's nothing to fear. Hold on to that truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The number two thing, in knowing that the Spirit of God is inside of you, he says that if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that means he has brought his resurrection power inside. Yes. I always think about it. It's so amazing. See the way Paul taught. He said, that's me. Think about it. Let's say we heard somebody died for 4 days and someone came and touched him and he got up. You say, who is that person? That person is mine to you. Then you hear that person inside of you. Ah, that means nothing can die in your body. Because when he entered you, he didn't leave his resurrection power outside. Meaning that he will quicken. He will give life. I mean, you're not dead. Whatever is still functioning, you vitalize it with life. So instead of talking about the ulcer, talk about the Holy Ghost inside vitalizing you. Acknowledge him. He's not dead. He's not stupid. He's not powerless. Don't act as though God is not inside of you. You say, I'm always having shortness of breath. My lungs. Is your lungs greater than God? Acknowledge God inside of you. He'll vitalize your mortal body. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this is the most important thing, interesting thing. When he raised Jesus from the dead, do you know Jesus' heart was pierced? Do you know that?
Yes.
The Bible says blood and water came out. And he still gave life to that person. What can he do with your life? What can't he do inside of you? See that pain you always feel that is running around your head? Stop acknowledging it. Acknowledge the Holy Ghost inside of you that can vitalize your head. Are you in this place? Acknowledge the truth and leave sickness for the devil. Acknowledge the truth. So at times I feel this thing, I can't see, I'm dizzy. Why are you acknowledging that? Jesus said, whatsoever thou hast given me, out of it, they have known. Watch people know in your life what God has given you. He has given you his spirit. Are you in this place? He has given you vitality. He is nourishing you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acknowledge what God has given you. Don't act as though God is not real. No, think about it. At times, the way some people talk, you wonder, is this God they are serving even real? You just wonder. They say, you know, we have bills to pay, and this person even see. And someone just wondering, are you sure you're serving a living God? Maybe you're serving a living person, but not God. But that's not true. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So instead of talking about the small issue inside that you think is inside, talk about the greater one inside. Are you in this place? Instead of talking about how that now your brain is heavy, you've been reading too much, say, I have a sound mind. Acknowledge the truth. That is the truth. The Bible says, let God be true and every man what? That is the truth. Acknowledge that one. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just go ahead and thank the Lord for what you've heard. Thank you.